The fall of Adam and Eve is one of the most famous stories of the Hebrew Bible. Yahweh, the divine creator, placed the first human beings in Eden, where there was every kind of tree enticing to look at and good to eat, with the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden. But Yahweh gave Adam a stern warning. He could eat the fruit of all these trees, except the fruit of the tree of knowledge. For on the day you eat of it, you shall most surely die. But alas, Eve succumbed to the temptation of the serpent, and she and Adam were condemned to a life of hard labor and suffering that could end only in death. This story is so deeply embedded in the Judeo-Christian consciousness that it is, perhaps, surprising to learn that, in fact, it is steeped in the Mesopotamian wisdom traditions that embodied the ethical ideals that bound its ruling aristocracy together. Civilization began in Sumer, in what is now Iraq, in about 3500 BCE. The Sumerians were the first to commandeer the agricultural surplus grown by the community in the fertile plain that lay between the rivers Tigris and Euphrates, and create a privileged ruling class. By about 3000 BCE, there were 12 cities in the Mesopotamian plain, each supported by produce grown by peasants in the surrounding countryside. The Sumerian aristocrats and their retainers, bureaucrats, soldiers, scribes, merchants, and household servants, appropriated between half and two-thirds of the crop grown by the peasants, who were reduced to serfdom. They left fragmentary records of their misery. "The poor man is better dead than alive," one lamented. Sumer had devised a system of structural inequity that would prevail in every single state until the modern period, when agriculture ceased to be the economic basis of civilization. Adam and Eve, however, lived at the beginning of time, before the earth yielded brambles and thistles, and humans had to wrest their food from the recalcitrant soil with sweat on their brow. Their life in Eden was idyllic until Eve met the serpent, who is described as Arum, the most subtle, shrewd, and wise of the animals. "Did God really say you were not to eat from any of the trees in the garden?" the serpent asked her. Eve replied that only the tree of knowledge was prohibited, on pain of instant death. The Arum serpent's prediction of what would happen to Adam and Eve drew heavily on the terminology of Sumerian wisdom. "No, you will not die. God knows, in fact, that on the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods, knowing good and evil." Of course, Eve succumbed. She wanted to transcend her humanity and become godlike. The couple did not, in fact, die as soon as they ate the forbidden fruit, as Yahweh had threatened. Instead, as the serpent promised, the eyes of both were opened. Words that recall the exclamation of a Mesopotamian student to his teacher. "Master God, who shapes humanity, you are my God. You have opened my eyes as if I were a puppy. You have formed humanity within me." For this student, divinity was not supernatural, but an enhancement of his uncivilized and therefore subhuman nature. But their knowledge of good and evil made Adam and Eve ashamed of their naked, raw humanity. So Yahweh God made clothes of skins for the man and his wife, and they put them on. A reversal of an incident in the Mesopotamian Epic of Gilgamesh, when Enkidu, primal man, attains full humanity only when he dons the clothes required by civilized life. The biblical author is drawing on these Mesopotamian motifs in a distinctive, perhaps ironic way. But this narrative, placed at the very beginning of the Bible, makes it clear that Scripture does not fall directly from heaven, but is a human artifact, rooted in the presuppositions of a culture shared with people who are not blessed with divine revelation. This enigmatic tale also shows that scripture does not always yield clear, unequivocal teaching, but often leaves us puzzled and unmoored. In the first chapter of the Bible, God had repeatedly pronounced the whole of creation to be good. Yet we are specifically told that the serpent, who urges Eve to disobey, is part of God's creation. Did the potential for lawlessness and rebellion lie at the root of being? And is it, therefore, good? And why was Yahweh economical with the truth, telling Adam that he would die on the very day he ate the forbidden fruit? The biblical author does not answer these questions, and we will see that Jews and Christians would interpret this puzzling story in strikingly different ways.